So maybe you can isolate what you think are the most interesting graphics they presented.
So I think I would say two. One would be the end of treatment response rates. And so clambrisil in the stage 1A and stage 1B was remarkably similar, overall response rate of 30%. And they also looked at minimal residual disease, primarily by flow cytometry, was 0%. Whereas in the GA101 or obinutuzumab, the overall response rate, 76%, with a CR rate of 22%. And they're not to the second stage of the comparison where they're going to compare GA101 clambrisil versus rituximab clambrisil. So it's a little bit of apples to oranges, but the rituximab clambrisil rates were 66% and 8%. And then moreover, looking at MRD, it was a fairly impressive reduction in MRD in terms of the obinutuzumab. In peripheral blood, 30% were converted to MRD negative, 17% in the bone marrow. Conversely, with rituximab was 2% and 3% respectively.
So just at a basic level, if I can understand how to look at these data, you can't really right now try to compare rituximab chlorambucil to obinutuzumab chlorambucil because the statistical requirements of the trial are to wait for more events or more maturity?
And this was planned. So this was the stage 1A and 1B to compare both antibodies versus clambrisil. What's ongoing and will be presented is stage 2, where they will compare head-to-head and have the numbers. They're going to have over 800 patients by the end of the day and should have statistical power to compare obinutuzumab clambrisil versus rituximab clambrisil. The PFS, again, it's hard to compare against each other, but was pretty impressive for obinutuzumab. Median PFS of 23 months and a one-year PFS of 84%. Comparatively for the rituximab clambrisil was 16 months and one-year PFS of 63%. So just as you mentioned, Neil, too early to compare those head-to-head, but that's ongoing.
So, Julie, I'm curious about your thoughts about this in terms of how we should be looking at this right now.
I think it is very interesting, especially the MRD information. I think that doesn't necessarily mean anything, but I think it's a hint that perhaps the antibody does have some potency that the other, you know, ones don't, and we should definitely look at that, and I'll be anxious to see the final results.
Chris?
As Julie mentioned, the MRD data are somewhat impressive to see that a single-agent antibody with chlorambucil is producing MRD in patients with CLL. That's a little bit surprising, even in the small numbers of patients that are becoming MRD negative. So I think this is very promising early results, and we'll need to see what the final results in stage 2 show in the comparison versus rituximab to see whether obinutuzumab is actually better.
Mike, I'm curious about your thoughts about this, and also the fact that it uses this chlorambucil comparator, it's older patients. If the trial actually plays out to show an advantage for obinutuzumab over rituximab, do you think it will be open to criticism because of this sort of chlorambucil elderly thing?
Well, just to take the second point first, I mean, there has been criticism of chlorambucil as being the control arm in all of these new agents that are being tested, and it's probably not a real difficult thing to beat. Chlorambucil does have activity, and so in our view, it's something that we use in elderly, frail patients. It's convenient. Many patients, although you don't get a lot of, you know, deep responses, you can often control the disease pretty well. But that said, I don't know that it's ultimately going to be the agent with which these new molecules and immunotherapeutics are going to be combined.
Yeah, the new agents thing is really, it seems to be an open question. But just in terms of what we have out in front of us, do you think that people would then generalize it to other chemotherapeutic agents?
So add it to bendamustine. I think that would be a logical thing for folks to do, and I suspect they'll be ahead of the studies. I would comment on the just comparing rituximab with obinutuzumab. I mean, you heard about differences in mechanisms of action, and if you think about just single-agent activity of rituximab in CLL, it's pretty modest. I mean, in SLL, CLL, and whether that's because of lower CD20 density, less effective effector cells like NK, T cells, I'm not sure. So for reasons that Jonathan mentioned, this molecule may in fact be an incremental, but maybe a fairly significant incremental improvement over what we've had to date with our anti-CD20s for CLL.